Bibles to Mark chapter 5. That's the second book of the New Testament, Brother Bill. Matthew, Mark. I'm getting this down. Look at verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he had compassion on you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've allowed us to come back tonight. You've given us a great day. And Lord, we just ask you to give us a good night and tomorrow. Lord, your perfect will might be in our life, that whatever comes, we might just continue to trust you. And as we go out this week, Lord, we pray that we'll share the gospel. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Here in our text is one of the most amazing healing miracles, I believe, of the Lord's ministry. And all three of the synoptic gospels records this passage of Scripture, and Jesus Christ and his disciples, they went over into the land of the Gadarenes, and they met this man there. He was a pathetic, somewhat kind of man to look at. He was demon-possessed, and you can read that in chapter 5, there in verse starting 1. He wore no clothing. He was lived in the or among the tombs, and the Bible says at night he would cut himself and cry out. The people were scared of him. They tried to bind him in chains, and he broke them apart like they was nothing. And this wild-looking man, uncontrollable, found healing in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful healing miracle? That Jesus took someone that was demon-possessed so that he was living amongst the graves. No one wanted to be around him, and yet this man, Christ, came into his life, touched his life. Jesus chose to send the demons into a herd of swine, and it upset the people there. They wasn't so concerned about this man as they were their swine. But that's not what I want you to look at tonight. I want you to look at this man followed Jesus, and he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus says, "No, go home to your friends and tell them how many great things the Lord hath done for you." Don't you know when he showed up in his right mind and clothes and talking about Jesus Christ, they probably wondered, "What in the world has happened to you?" But they knew that he had changed. They knew that everything about him was different. And Jesus had had compassion on him. And in this short text, it embodies the entire program that God has for us as we seek to save a lost world. As we as Christians go out day by day and tell people about Jesus Christ, this passage of Scripture takes that whole thing in. The Great Commission to every child of God. And it's really very simple. It's one, God's method. He says, go tell. That's very simple, isn't it? Go tell. Saved? Yes. And then we're sent into the world. We're saved from the fires of destruction and to the light, the pathway to Jesus Christ. We're saved from and to something. He says later on, you are the light of the world. A city that's on a hill shines. Therefore, let your light shine before men that you may glorify your Father in heaven. When Christ prepared to ascend into heaven, the last words he told his disciples were the Great Commission. They were to be witnesses. They were to be witnesses. That means, we heard it a while ago, one that bears a testimony of what you know. One who bears a testimony. Witnessing is a consequence of salvation. You see, we witness because we're saved. He says, once we're saved, you are my witnesses. Have you ever thought about that? You're Christ's witnesses. Every person that names the name of Jesus speaks for Christ, or is to speak for Christ. You see, your lips cannot be silent if you're saved. But some people say, well, I just don't know what to say. But even if you don't know what to say, your life preaches or should preach Christ every day by the way you live. John Bunyan was John Bunyan was a young man about as rough as they came growing up. He would ring the bells and the bells of the town to round up his friends for gambling and cards and drinking. But he met Jesus Christ. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Then the bells would chime, but not for gambling and drinking and things like that. The bells would chime for his church to bring people as a witness for Christ so they could hear the word. You know, God changes our lives. There's two types of witnesses. One who calls men to the Savior, lets them know about Jesus Christ, and then there's those that, by the way they live, they run people away from Jesus Christ. The cause of Christ, I've said many times, has been hurt more, not by the atheists, but from those who claim and live inconsistent lives for Christ. Those people who say they know Jesus Christ, yet do not live for Christ. Think of the difference you can make in not only your life, but think of the difference you can make in your life of this church, in the life of your family, by praising God every day instead of finding critical things every day. You know, wouldn't it be nice to just get up in the morning and you should anyhow, but just praise God for the day that He's given you. Now, you can always find something bad to complain about. There's those that always complain, seem like they live to complain. But think about the difference if you started your day off by just praising God and thanking Him for your life, your family, what He's done in your life, what He's doing in your life, your church, praying for your pastor, praying for your Sunday school teacher. Think about that. Just being a one of positive thinking and talking to God instead of getting up complaining about things that are wrong in your life. Well, we can make that kind of difference. You're a witness one way or the other. Just ask yourself, which kind are you? Are you leading people to Christ or pushing people away from Christ? So there's consequences of our salvation. It ought to be one of witnessing. Then there's witnessing as a command in salvation. Go, he says, tell. Romans 10, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says, how can they call upon one in whom they've not believed? And how can they hear unless someone goes and tells them? Now think about that. How can someone be saved if they have not heard about Jesus Christ? And how can they believe if no one goes and tells them? We need to go and tell people every day. Jesus says, now, you know, I imagine it would have been nice to have this guy come along. But Jesus says, no, what you need to do is stay here, go home to your friends, and tell them what's happened in your life. What great things have happened. You see, people are outside of our church walls every day, and they're dying and going to hell, and we're so busy with our lives, we forget to stop and talk to people along the way. People they need Christ. People need someone to talk to. It may be your neighbor, it may be a friend, it may be someone at Walmart. There's all kinds of ways that we can help people. We've got people in our church in desperate needs, in desperate needs. All we need to do is say, Lord, show me who I can help and supply, you know, some way that will help someone along the way to encourage them. You see, our people are out there every day. And we do not find time sometimes to just compliment or encourage a brother or sister in Christ. But Jesus says, when we go our way, tell people. Tell them about Jesus Christ. That's his method, as you go. And I would always go like it says here, first to your own home, your friends. Some people say, well, preacher, it's hard to witness to my brothers and sisters. Well, go ahead and do it. It won't hurt a bit. You know, what are they going to do? You're there. You see them. Let them know where you stand and let them know you don't have to be talked down to them, but just pray for them. You see, let them know that you care for them. And then not only that, your people around you, kind of like the old concentric circles where you work and things like that, and then out into the world. And then that's the method. And then there's the message. He says, tell them the great things. What's that? Well, let me tell you something. This old boy was wearing no clothes. This old boy was cutting himself. This old boy was dirty. I just imagine he lived amongst the tombs. He was smelly. He's one of them kind of people you wouldn't want to sit down really at the table and eat with, you know? And now, he's in his right mind. And now, he's wearing clothes, I'd suppose. And now he's doing things that are everyone else would be doing. And what has happened to his life? Well, tell them what great things. Christ came into my life. That's what we say. Listen, what's different about me is Jesus Christ in my life. Confront them with the love of God. Tell them not what we've learned. A lot of people want to say, you know what I learned? Well, I don't really want to know what people learned. I want to know what they are experiencing in their life. What Christ is doing in your life. When I see a change in your life, then I want to know what you're learning about. I'll know. But a lot of people want to sit down and talk about what they've learned, and yet they've not changed their life. I want to know what kind of difference Christ has made in your life. When somebody gives a testimony, I really want to hear, what is Christ doing now in your life? Not 20 years ago, but what does he do now in your life? What's happened to you this week in your life that's fresh and anew? Tell them what Christ has done for you. Man, every time I thought of talking about Christ, it's hard to shut up, isn't it? I've got so much to tell them. I backed out of my house this week, rode this meeting, almost run over my neighbor. You know how you get used to backing out of the driveway? You just back out of the driveway and you figure nobody lives here but me on this street. There's not going to be anybody on the street but me. Well, I come backing out. I always pause and look for cars because Jeff lives down below me, and he flies through sometimes. Never watching me. But this time I didn't see a car, so I started backing out. And right before I got on, well, I was on the road, I looked up my mirror and there was my neighbor. And he would jump back off the road watching. You know, he was watching me. Good thing he was. I rolled down the window and said, you know what? I'm glad you was watching me because I just about run you over. And I got to meet him. Got to share with him. We started talking about Christ. And first thing you know, I said, yeah, I don't know about you, but I got to go. This morning at 8 o'clock when I started out again, he was standing there waiting on me to talk to me again. And this time I didn't run him over. I saw him before I got there. It's made it a whole lot easier to talk to somebody, you know, when you're not trying to kill them. But we got to talking about Jesus. We got to talking about what changes have been made in our life. And you know, that's what I want to know. What change he's made in your life. I love that song, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." You see, people will argue about religion with you all day long. But that doesn't matter. What you need to know is, what have you done? You cannot argue with an experience. You cannot argue with a life that has been changed, you see. People want to argue dispensationalisms with you, you know, all of that. What do you believe, theology and this and that? Well, really, I want to see a change in that person's life, and then I'll know what they believe. Old Stuart Hamlin, the singing Christian cowboy, looked the critic and told him, "God is dead," he said, in his eye, and he said, "You're wrong." He looked him in his eye and said, "You're wrong." I talked to him this morning. You see, God is not dead, because I talked to him this morning. I'm usually sitting out on the porch before daylight. That's the quietest time of the morning. And sometimes I'll be sitting out there singing. And different sweet hour prayer, things that I know. If I don't know the words, I just make them up. Nobody hears but me and the good Lord, but not always. Eric walks out to the chicken coop in the mornings and lets them out. And I didn't even see him, but he asked me to see him. "Who are you talking to over there this morning?" He thought I was as crazy as this guy. "You talking to yourself?" And I said, "No, I was singing to the Lord this morning." And he said, "I knew somebody was over there next to you." But you know what? That's what we want to see, an experience with someone. Somebody tells me they don't believe in God. I that's hard for me to understand, because he's all around. He's close. You can just look up the trees and the skies and know that God is there. And that's the message. You have a personal experience. Tell people what you've experienced. The religious expert is a man or woman, a boy or girl, who isn't a theologian. It's one person who says that I know whom I have believed. I know there is a God, because I talk to him every morning and he talks to me, you see. I know God. You ask me how I know. He's real in my heart. And I believe that ought to be the change in everybody's life. He's real. I didn't say I always feel good, but I know that I'm saved. I don't always do exactly what's right, but I know that I'm saved. I don't always please everybody. I'm not here to please everybody. I know if I live my life pleasing to God, that's the only thing that matters. You see? The divine power of God is a life-changing power that frees you from the bondage of the devil, saves your soul, and then he says, you go and tell your friends what God has done for you. You ought to have a living, fresh testimony to share with somebody as they come about you. You cannot have that if you don't talk to God, if you don't read his word. Tell them that you know he can save, because he saved you. Tell them, not only that, there's a change. That means to repent in your life. Turn your life around. Let them know that Jesus Christ is the one who saved you. The Bible says if we lift him up, he will draw all men to him. God's method is to go and tell. God's message is about an experience that you've had with him, a life-changing experience. And then the last thing, the miracle. The result of this commission is not seen right here. You have to go over to 7 and 8 when he goes back into the region. In verses 7 and 8, immediately they got into the boat in verse 10 and 8. They got into the boat with his disciples and came into the region of Dalmatia. They came back in that region. It's the same region. If you look on your back of the Bible maps, they're all in the same region. When we was there, we went around the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and we passed through this region of the hilly country around the Sea of Galilee. And the man that was with us, our Jewish teacher, was leading us, and he was telling us that this is the area in which Jesus would have been in with a demon-possessed man, the man who lived in these caves and things like that. And then when he crossed back over, and this, they were in that same region. But there's one difference this time. There's many already there that know the Lord. And I believe, it's not said so, but I believe it's because this one man that Jesus saved and said, you stay here and you tell your friends that gospel. He did exactly what Christ told him. That gospel of Jesus Christ moved out into that area, in that region. And the Bible says he was welcomed by great crowds of people. 4,000 came and Jesus miraculously fed them. This great crowd, I believe, is due in part to this demon-possessed man whose change of life went home and did exactly what God had told him to. The miracle in his life not only changed him, but I believe it changed his whole town, his whole family, till thousands were saved. Folks, there's no greater miracle than when a life is born again and he's saved from the devil to Jesus Christ, and that change has come into his life. Tell people, that's all it is, about the miracle that Christ has done in your life. Christ had compassion upon him and healed him. No testimony for Jesus Christ ever goes unnoticed. None of you that tell about Jesus Christ, you may think, well, it didn't do a bit of good. I told you about this years ago. Two occasions. Back when I was first saved, back in, I don't even know when it was now, 1975, I think. Me and a little guy named Marty Woodruff. Marty was just like a banny hen. Y'all know what a banny hen is? He was a little guy. He was just as fiery. You know, they have little spurs on. I believe if he had been a banny hen, he would scratch guy's eyes out. But you know what? We went out visiting for our church on one night a week. And Marty said, you know what? This old boy down here, he's not saved. His wife had gotten saved, and she had asked me and Marty to come by and talk to him. And we always prayed and before we went into the house, and we pulled a truck over or pickup over, whatever we was in at night, and stopped and started praying. And then we pulled on up to the house and got out. Didn't go like we thought we would. Knocked on the door, and the door opened, and this guy is standing there with a 12-gauge shotgun. And he's pointing it right at us. And he says, listen, if y'all don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you both. We said, well, we come to share Jesus Christ with you. I don't want to hear about him. He said, okay, that's the way you feel. We'll leave. We got back in the car, and me and Marty sat there and said, what in the world happened? God, didn't you hear us out here praying for this guy? We went on back, told the pastor about it, you know, but let me tell you something. That next week, his daddy, his mother, and his wife and his children were all in church. The old boy didn't come, but his daddy got saved, his mother got saved, and his wife and children were all saved. Don't tell me that God wasn't in that. No witness ever goes unnoticed. His daddy was one of the nicest guys after that I've met. He was a mechanic, and he owned a garage there, and he told us, he said, you know, I'm so glad y'all stopped by. His mother apologized for her son, said, you know, we told him not to ever do that again. You know, they knew. I don't know if he ever got saved or not. He may have. I hope he did. But you know what? That witness never went unnoticed. I believe if you do what God asked you to do, he didn't say we're to win everybody, did he? He just said, you go tell. Then I love this, and I had a beautiful experience. It was in Grisham, back when Ron and I was first called in the youth ministry over at Grisham. I wanted something productive to do. You can sit in the office and study all day long, but if you don't do something productive, sometimes you just sit there. And I'm not one that just likes to sit in the office all day long. I like to get in there, take care of business, do something, and then go out and do something else. Share with somebody. Find somebody to witness to, you know, and look around. Look around. Sometimes you find somebody, sometimes you don't, but that year, that summer, it was hot. It was one of them hot summers in Texas. I went to every door that I could find in that community. There's 17 residential sections in South Tyler, right there at Gresham. They was putting in thousands of houses. I just start one, put me a pin on every door, you know, on the map, and I'd say, contact, contact, contact. I went to every one of them. I didn't see anybody come to church. Not a person. God called us over here. But Roy told me after I left, he said, you know, you may not have seen anybody come to church while you was there. But he said, let me tell you something. People are coming to church that you knocked on their doors years ago. God's work never goes unnoticed. If you are faithful to go, he will send the blessings and reap the harvest. You know, it's just that way. He says, my word shall not return unto me void. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. When we follow God's method and preach his message, we'll see God's miracle in people's lives. This week, let's go and tell. Let's go and tell somebody about what Christ means to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a commission to go and tell. Lord, may we do that. May we share with somebody at least once this week. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.